Okay, so today's topic is Purim that falls out on Erev Pesach, not Erev Pesach, Purim that falls out on Erev Shabbos, Purim that falls out on Friday, and we're going to discuss three topics. Number one, meat or dairy, and obviously since I'm giving this shiur only 2 days before the Suda, so I have to give justification for both. I don't want to make anyone crazy here. I just want to sort of discuss the issues. The second topic I want to talk about is when we're supposed to do the Purim Suda, and just discuss that a bit. And then finally, I want to talk about there's a fascinating custom that some of you may have read about, which is actually combining your Purim Suda with your Friday night Shabbos meal. What are the advantages and disadvantages of that approach? So obviously, some of this might be theoretical because you already have everything planned. But it's good also just to discuss, to understand, what's the discussions that are out there in terms of what should be done. So first we'll talk about meat versus dairy. So the reason why it's not so clear, the Gemara is generally silent when it comes to, number one, whether we're supposed to have meat for the Purim meal, and also whether we should even have bread. It just says in the Megillah that these are days of Mishteh and Simcha. So Mishteh comes from the word, Mishteh is different than a Seuda, right? Seuda satiates you, Lis'od, Samech Ayin Dal means to satiate you. Mishteh comes from the word Shtiyah. So Mishteh is basically a drinking party, in a sense. But Simcha has certain connotations. In halachic connotations, when we see that there's a mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov, so sometimes that might mean the meat of the meat of korbanos to eat. So we talk about mitzvah of simcha and suda. The problem is the Gemara doesn't really discuss about this notion of whether you should have meat or not. The Rambam takes the view. This is in Hilchos Megillah, Perek Beis Halacha Dalet. He says, "Ketzad chovas suda zu? What's the nature of this obligation? Sheyochal basar." Yeah, you should eat meat because we know that Simcha, the Megillah says, a day of Simcha. Simcha requires meat and having a nice meal according to your financial ability. Now, regarding the Shulchan Aruch, it's not so clear. Of Yosef Cairo, Yosef Cairo usually quotes the Rambam, right? They're both Sfardim. Rambam Sfardi and the Shulchan Aruch generally quotes Sfardi practice. What's interesting is the Shulchan Aruch doesn't really have a definitive view on this. He does have a line in the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tafrei Tzadivav Siv Zayin. These are the laws of Purim. He writes, Yesh Misha Omer. So there are those that say. So first of all, that's an interesting language. There are those that say. So is that a definitive view or not? She'onein muter b'baser v'yayin. That someone who is in a state of aninus. What's aninus? Someone, God forbid, someone dies on Purim, and they don't bury him yet. They don't bury the person yet. So he writes that you are permitted to have meat and wine for the Purim Seuda. Because normally speaking, an oneid is not supposed to have meat, but you would be allowed to have meat on for the Purim meal because the mitzvah of Simcha on Purim, that's a mitzvah derabim, it's a public mitzvah, and that outweighs your personal avelos. But so it's interesting, it's not so clear. The Shulchan Aruch says some say that an oneid is allowed to have meat. Does that mean that there is an absolute obligation? Does that mean that everyone agrees? So the Shulchan Aruch is not 100% clear. The Magen Avraham, actually in Sif Katan Tes Vav, he wants to argue that it's a little. He takes the view that Purim, he says, Efshar Lomar de Purim Shani Dichsi Bei Simcha Vein Simcha El Babasar. The Magen Avraham says, I think that you should have meat on Purim because, after all, it says in the Megillah, these are days of Mishteh and Simcha. So Mishteh is drinking wine, and Simcha is classically referring to meat. However, he says, but it's a little difficult because Dehayom Tov Nami Simcha Ksibe, the Torah says, V'samachta Bechagecha, that you're supposed to have Simcha on Yom Tov, Ve'ein Chiyuv Lecho Basa Rak Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayam. And he said, "Ayin Siman Tav Kuf Chav Tes." And he said, "If you look in Siman Tav Kuf Chav Tes, the Shulchan Aruch basically takes the view you don't have to eat meat on Yom Tov, because the obligation of meat when it comes to Yom Tov is only the simcha of the korbanos, the korban meat, but not just having, you know, your own meat. That's not the mitzvah of simcha. The mitzvah of simcha is specifically sacrificial meat, and the Shulchan Aruch says when it comes to Hilchos Yom Tov that there is a mitzvah. This is in Siman Tav Kufchav Tes Sif Aleph. He says there's a mitzvah to split up the day. Half the day you should learn, half the day you should eat or drink, and you should also have kavod and oneg. And he says, like on Shabbos, and he says you have to have two loaves of bread, velikboa kol suda al yayin, and you should have wine during every meal, but he never mentions meat. And the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Bey says a person should be happy during the moed, he and his wife and his whole family. Ketzem Asachum, how does he make his family happy? The children, you should give them nuts and treats, and the wives, you should buy them begadim v'tachshitim. You should buy for them clothing and jewelry. I always say, he says, kafi mamon, according to their financial abilities. That's an important thing. But the point being, is that the Shulchan Aruch, very interestingly enough, doesn't mention anything about meat. The Magen Avraham does say, u'mitzvah lechol basar. But he's saying, well, I hold like the Rambam that there is a mitzvah to eat meat. And indeed, the Ber Halacha, which is the Mishnah Brura, he takes the view that he says, well, v'anashim, and men, bizman shebeis mitzvah hayakayam, in the time when there was a beis hamikdash, hayu ochlim basar hashlamim l'simcha, they would eat the korban shlamim meat to fulfill the mitzvah of simcha. So there's a mitzvah of simcha. Now there's no beis hamikdash. You can only fill the obligation with wine. But there's no obligation to have meat. Because there's no sacrificial meat. Maybe there's no obligation, but there still is a mitzvah. I guess you still score points if you do eat meat. And the Orach HaShulchan, so it's like there may not be an obligation, but there still is a mitzvah. And the Orach HaShulchan, just to round it out, he says, yeah, you should have meat. He cites the Rambam. You should have meat. Why? Because umashma de basar vade tzarech, you definitely should have meat. De viladai zeh, without this ein chashiv. It's not considered an important meal if there's no meat. So what emerges from here is that it's confusing, right? In other words, it seems the Rambam says you should eat meat. There's an obligation to eat meat. Rav Yosef Cairo, the Shulchan Aruch, seems to say no, that the obligation to eat meat is only an obligation to have the sacrificial meat. And then there might be this in-between position that maybe there's no obligation, but there's a mitzvah. So what should we do then? Who do you have to follow? So Rav Schachter put out a piece on, you know, Rav Schachter's been just, he's just been publishing article after article on different issues relating to, you know, because of the situation, because of COVID and issues, you know, some related to COVID, some not related to COVID, but he's just been publishing, you know, tons of material. And so on this issue, on his article on Purim, he says, but Purim yesh chovas seuda. On Purim, there's an obligation of a seuda, of a meal. Uva magin avram hevi diyun imyotzi mitei chovas seuda zu bli pas. So there is a discussion whether you have to have bread or not. So that's a discussion. I think most people, the common custom, I think, is to have bread, but it's not 100% clear. Because it's not a Yom Tov or a Shabbos, but see, the custom generally is to have bread, and then he cites the Rabbeinu Hiskir Pam and Rabbi Soloveitchik. When Rav Schachter says Rabbeinu, he's obviously referring to Rabbi Soloveitchik. He says Rabbeinu Hiskir Pam, and he said, and Rav Soloveitchik mentioned once Shelofia Shulchan Aruch, according to the Shulchan Aruch, Efshar Lotzeis Yedei Chova Sudas Purim. That you could fulfill the obligation of your meal on Purim, be tuna sandwich. You could fulfill your obligation by having a tuna sandwich. Kilo niskar b'shulchan aruch tevidam basar. Because it doesn't mention in Shulchan Aruch that we need to have meat. And then he says, well, the Shulchan Aruch does say that someone who's an onen, remember that case, that someone who's an onen is allowed to have meat. So he says maybe, and the Shulchan Aruch is saying that there's a, that Shulchan Aruch is pointing out that there are two different opinions. There's a doubt, there's a debate. So like, what should we do? So again, it seems that it's preferable to have meat. At the same time, on Friday it's a little difficult. Some people don't want to have meat on Friday. It is justifiable not to have meat as well. I mean, this is not only a Purim issue. This is a Shavuos meal issue, right? Some people have dairy meals for Shavuos. It's a Shavuos issue. This is a Bris Mila issue. In Bris Mila, we're supposed to have a Suda. It might not be as, you know, and I don't think most people, in some circles, sometimes you've been to a meal of a Bris where they actually had meat. It's not so common. So this is a question. It really boils down to the question, is Simcha objectively mean a meat meal? Or that no, it really meant a korban shlamim, a sacrificial meat. And nowadays, since we don't have sacrificial meat, so then it could be, it's more subjective. If you want to have tuna fish, you could have it. If because on Friday you don't want to have, you know, meat because it's so close to Shabbos, you could do that as well. So I would say this halachically, the safer halachic position is probably to have meat. The Aruch HaShulchan who says you need to have chashivus. So someone asked me if I have fancy fish. That might fill it according to the Aruch HaShulchan, maybe. But I'm saying the safer halachic bet is probably to have meat. Although I think it's certainly justifiable, you know, not to. And I think those are the issues in terms of whether to have meat or not. Again, the safer halachic bet, I think, is to have meat for Bris Mila. But I think most of us probably, when we celebrate, those of us who've had boys, probably did not have, I would imagine. So I think that those are the issues, and that those are the different positions for having meat and not having meat. So that's the first issue. Okay?
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
So I forget who you quoted who said that you have to have meat because it's a Suda. There's no Suda without meat. But couldn't that be the times then, just like we learned in Daf yesterday, that we talked about the science between the Chachamim and the non-Jews turned out not to be so correct?
Right. So, okay. So I would say the following. So I would say that, so there are a couple of questions. I want to move on to the next topic. I'll address that quickly. So number one is the Aruch HaShulchan says that meat is a sign of chashivus importance. So that maybe you can argue, you know, what's considered important. It's really a question of, right, is simcha objective or is it not objective? Are we saying that the default is meat? Or when the Rambam seems to say, the Rambam said it absolutely. He didn't say it's whatever you want. He doesn't say, well, it depends. The simple understanding is that he said this is objective. But certainly in this discussion, there is a line of thinking which says that when it says that, let's say, men, it's meat, and women, it's nice clothing and jewelry, and the kids, it's the nuts and the candy, that might be a default position. But if you get simcha through something else, then that certainly is legitimate. So that does go into the discussion. That's certainly what to rely on. Okay? I don't think that's the view. Again, the Mishnah Berurah is living nowadays, or 100 years ago, and there he's saying it's probably not a chiyuv, but it's probably a mitzvah, not an obligation, but it's still a mitzvah.
And it's not a meat eater.
Okay, so he again, there are different opinions about that. That's what I'm saying. So some will say it's objective. If it's absolutely harmful to you, you despise it, that might be different. Whether it's not, you're not so excited about it. There's what to rely on. I'll tell you, there's what to rely on. Okay. Now, when should we eat the meal? So, in Arvei Pesachim, in the 10th parak of Pesachim, that's like usually one of the first mesechtas that children learn, the 10th parak of Pesachim. So there's a discussion that either so that you'll have an appetite for Shabbos, or you'll have the adequate time to prepare for Shabbos. There's a debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah, can you eat, do you have to stop eating, you know, early? And if so, when do you have to stop eating? So it, for our purposes, the Shulchan Aruch, in, when it comes to, let's say, Erev Pesach, in Siman Tuf Ayin Aleph, Sif Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch, we'll get to Purim in a second, but it's important to first learn about Pesach and Sukkos. When it comes to Pesach, the Shulchan Aruch says, Asr Lecho Pas, Misha Asiris Ulamala. You're not allowed to eat bread from the 10th hour and on. Kadesh Yochal Matzah L'Teyavon. So you're going to have, eat matzah with a gusto. You'll be with an appetite. So that's after a third of the day before, you know, the last quarter of the day, you shouldn't eat bread. But you can eat a little bit of fruit, that's fine. But you can't fill your stomach. That's what Shulchan Aruch says. And the Shulchan Aruch says also, V'kodem sha'asiris mutar l'achol, but before the beginning of the 10th hour, in other words, before the last quarter of the day, you can eat matzah shira. You can have this egg matzah. So you know, you can eat bread-type food before the last quarter of the day. However, the Mishnah Berurah points out in Sifkat and Tes, however, if you know that your meal is going to continue throughout the 10th hour, then you shouldn't start eating even before the 9th hour. In other words, if you just put all these halachos together, on Erev Pesach, you should make sure to finish your meal before the last quarter of the day. Okay? So the Ramah writes, the Ramah says, though, when it comes to Sukkos, says, V'lo yochal b'yom mechatzos ve'elach. So when it comes to Hilcha Sukkah, he says, no, you shouldn't eat from noon and onwards, so that you'll eat with an appetite. Dumya dachilas matzah, similar to matzah. So that's a little strange, right? Because when it comes to Hilchos Pesach, you can start your meal all the way to the last quarter of the day. When it comes to Hilchos Sukkah and Erev Sukkos, there you have to stop midday. So one solution is to say maybe egg matzah is not so filling, so you can have it later. That's one solution. But there seems to be an inconsistency. And in fact, the Mishnah Berurah points out, Hachroni miskimu ladina deino aser ki'im mitchila shal revis achar chatzos ayom. Mishnah Berurah says, notwithstanding what the Shulchan Aruch says, that it's only forbidden, really, from the beginning of the fourth hour after midday. In other words, the last quarter of the day. Like what the Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Tav Ayin Aleph. So Mishnah Berurah says, we really don't hold like this position with Sukkos. That's a singular view, and we really don't hold like it. Now, so again, if I were to stop there and I would say that, okay, so then when do you have to eat your Purim Suda by? I'd say you should finish it by a quarter of the day. I think, I forgot what I wrote on the notes. I think it was about 3 o'clock, or I forgot what it was exactly. But you should finish your meal, let's say before 3 p.m., whatever it is. I think it's one of the emails. It was in the emails with all the five towns, Rabbanim. So whatever the time was, I forgot at this point. But it's a quarter of the day left in the day. You don't have to start before midday, but you have to stop, let's say, around 3 p.m. But here comes the Ramah. The Ramah says in Hilchos Megillah, Simon Tafrei Sadhei Seif Beis, Ushachal Purim B'yom HaShishi Yasu Asuda B'Shachris Nikvod HaShabbos. And when Purim falls out on Friday, he should start the meal in the morning because of the honor of Shabbos. That's strange. He's following like Hilchos Sukkah, not Hilchos Pesach. Right? The Mishnah Berurah says, So you really should start, you know, before noon. But then Mishnah Berurah says, "Va'ayim b'Yad Ephraim, Mashikasa b'Shem Maria." But you have to look at the Yad Ephraim. So that's like the Mate Ephraim, and he says in the footnote, "Kasa b'Tshuva Maria, Da'ayinu Kodem Shasiri." He says, "Yeah. Even though the Ramah says you should start before midday, yeah, we really don't hold like that." Like, we really don't hold like that. Even though the Ramah says that, we really don't hold like that. And in fact, Rav Herschel Schachter, in his tshuva on Purim, so he says that indeed, even though he says that you really have to finish your meal before a quarter, you know, left in the day. Now, whatever time, like say 3 o'clock. And he says, Umasha Kasuv HaRamah. Again, I forgot the exact time, so don't say 3 o'clock. Definitely, it's on the email. I forgot the exact time, but it's a quarter left in the day. It's around. I think it's around. Maybe it's closer to two. Maybe. But he says Umasha Kasuv HaRamah BeHilcha Sukkah BiBariel Shalecho BeErev Sukkos Afilu Samech LaMincha Gedola Sarach Iyun Gadol. And Shachter says, yeah. And when the Ramah in Hilchos Sukkah says you know, based on the Maril, that you shouldn't eat, you know, half an hour before Mincha Gedol, which is a midday, that's a big question. And also this Purim that fell on Erev Shabbos, he says you really need to finish before the 10th hour. And when the Mishnah Berurah says before Chatzos, that's a chumrah, that's a stringency that the Ramah mentions in Hilchos Sukkah, and the Mishnah Berurah in his footnote called Shaar Tzion says that all the Achronim rejected it. It's simply a stringency. So therefore, I would say, so Rav Schachter is of the view that, again, even though I think in the letter from the Rabbanim of the Five Towns, so they wrote that, you know, you should, if you could try to start your meal before midday, right? But still, if it's too difficult to arrange it, you're going somewhere for Shabbos, so then you should, it's certainly reliable, certainly can say, you certainly can take the view that you're not going to eat, that you could start the meal up until whatever quarter left in the day. Let me just find this. I keep on referencing this. So hold on. Let me just tell you the times exactly. Give me 1 second. See if I can find this. Okay. So I have here. I'm looking here at this. Yes. So in the letter that was sent out from the Five Towns Rabbanim, including I was one of them. I guess I'm not from the Five Towns, but I signed on to that letter. So it said that it should be started before 12:08 p.m. and be concluded at 2:56 p.m. So it's nice to start before 12:08, but if it's too difficult, if Schachter certainly says that it's simply a chumrah, a stringency, and if you start a little bit later, that's okay. Just try to make sure that it finishes before 2:56. Again, there seems to be different views out there. It's really a question of when it says that you shouldn't have a fixed meal on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov. So you shouldn't finish it samuch l'mincha, close to mincha. Is it what we call in halachic terms mincha gedola, which is near, which is basically midday, or what's called mincha katana, which is a quarter of the day left? So it seems that the dominant view, what we paskin, is really what's called mincha ketana, and it's a chumrah to start before 12:08. So if you can't, I wouldn't necessarily push myself if it's too difficult. If it's easy to start before 12:08, okay, it's a nice chumrah. But if it's too difficult, I wouldn't push myself, but try to be finished before 2:56. The Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat Siman Tav Kuv Chav Tes Sifkat Ches does say that, let's say, for example, happens sometimes, that let's say it's Shabbos is Erev Yom Tov, so you're supposed to have Shalashudis, right, before, a quarter of the day is left. If somehow you didn't do that, so then he says, okay, you should still have Shalashudis, just have a little bit of bread. Just have a kazayas of bread, a slice of bread. So the same thing is true as well. Let's say, I think my daughter's still on call, for example. I think my daughter's still, or she has classes, or she has something on Friday. I don't know if she's going to be able to make it to a standard, typical Purim Suda, this Erev Shabbos, this Purim Erev Shabbos. So if you can't start, if you're stuck, and you have to eat your meal after 2:56, you have to have your tuna sandwich after 2:56, That is certainly okay. Just don't have a lot of food to keep your appetite for Shabbos. Again, topic number one: ideal meat. But if it's difficult, you don't like it, there's certainly legitimacy to follow the Shulchan Aruch to have non-meat and try to make at least a chashuv suda. And the second piece is that even though lechatchila, ideally it might be nice to start before 12:08, but really Rav Schachter holds that the Achronim reject this stringency by the Ramah, and they hold that as long as it's finished before 2:56, that's fine. And if it starts, if you can't finish by then, it's still okay. Still have the Suda. The last interesting piece, there should be C. The last interesting piece is the is what I call the Poris Mapa option. I don't know if you've heard about, if you've been reading about it online. So the Gemara in Psachim Daf Kuf Amud Aleph tells us that ein halacha lo k'Rabbi Yehuda v'lo k'Rabbi Yosi. This halacha, this ruling about when you have to finish an Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov is neither like Rabbi Huda or Rabbi Yossi, that you have to interrupt your meal, or you don't have to interrupt your meal at all. Whatever their views are, we talked about it a little bit. Again, Rabbi Yehuda says that basically, if it's close to Shabbos, you have to stop your meal, and Rabbi Yossi says you don't stop your meal at all. There's this in-between position. Let's say you're eating a Friday meal, Friday afternoon. The halacha is poris mapa makadesh. If you're eating a meal and it's close to Shabbos, and then Shabbos hits, then what do? You put a cloth over your table, and you recite Kiddush, and then you continue your meal. So the question is, can you do that in terms of the Purim Suda? In other words, this approach would say, if we hold of this Pores Mapa option, so and in fact, the Shulchan Aruch writes, actually in Siman Reish Ayin Aleph Sif Dalid, that you can't taste anything before Kiddush, even water. Even I feel him hiskan bol yom. Let's say you're in the middle of a meal, and then you're eating a meal, and then sunset hits. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Tzorich lahafsik, you need to stop your meal. Shaporis mapam kaddish. So you're eating a meal, you start a meal, let's say in a permitted way, let's say you start your meal, I don't know, whatever it is, you know, a few hours before Shabbos, it's a long meal, you didn't finish it, and you, lo and behold, you realize it's sunsets. What do? You cover the challah, you make kiddush, and that's it. So question is, can you do this on Purim? So indeed, the Maharil says, Kishechol Purim B'yom Vav. So the Maharil lived 500-600 years ago, and he says, Kishechol Purim B'yom Vav, Eich Nagi Mesudas Purim. What are we supposed to do with the Purim meal? Im Anu Ochlim Suda Gedola Marichin Ala Shulchan Kishar Yimeichol. If we have a massive meal and for a long time, then what's going to happen? Az Anu Mekalkalim Sudas Leil Shabbos. We're not going to be hungry for Shabbos. Varam Chayav Lechol Kishu Tava. You need to eat a Shabbos meal when you are desirous, when you're hungry, when you have an appetite. Bimam tini adalaila. If you wait until night, azavar zmanasuda. So then what? If you wait until night to eat your Purim suda, then there's no more Purim suda. It's not Purim anymore. Bim techayvenu asuda mibol yom vidmor balayla. If you start the meal during the day and finish at night, zeinu rashi lechatchila ibnei kiddush. What are you supposed to do? You can't do that daily because of kiddush. The davka dieved. So he says that this halacha, poris mapo makadesh, this is a bidi'evet halacha. This means that if you started the meal on Friday afternoon and you forgot and you didn't realize that then Shabbos hits, okay, so then what are you supposed to do? So then, okay, then make kiddush. But that's not a lachatchila. But then he says, maybe, Im Tomar is a mikre dieved, kevad dieved shall be an acher. So Nicha says, maybe this is a dieved. Maybe when Purim falls out on Erev Shabbos, and you can't have a massive meal on Purim on Friday, and then still have an appetite for Friday night. So maybe this is like a dieved. Maybe you can have, you know, your meal Friday afternoon, and just continue it on to Shabbos and make kiddush. So he says, Tshuva, what's the answer? So that was a question asked him. So the Maharil says, you know what you should do? Maschilim beheter kodem samuch lemincha. You can start samuch lemincha, meaning before 2:56, what our time. But according to that, everyone holds is permitted. So that's what he thinks. That you could start. You could start your meal at, let's say, 2:30, and continue eating all the way till 6 o'clock, and then you can, when sunset hits, so then you make kiddush. However, the Meiri is even more extreme. He says, the Meiri, he was a Rishon and he lived in southern France in the 13th century, and he says, Va'af anu v'avoseinu nogim b'porim ch'olios b'erev Shabbos shemaschilim b'suda mibol yom ad shi'kadesh. We had this custom. We started our meal. He didn't say we started a meal, let's say, before 3 p.m. We started our meal during the daytime. And then once sunset hit, porsim mapa, We put a challah cover over the bread. Umekadshi, we made kiddush. V'gobri b'sasud, we finished the meal. Umas kirin ba shel purim mitamzeh. And then when we bench, we said Al Hanisim, because he said why? Av Chamisha Sayom Nesu, because Shushan Purim was also a miracle. So you can still, it's still a little bit of Purim, Shushan Purim, so you can still say Al Hanisim, even though it's Shabbos the next day. And so the Meiri actually takes the view that we could actually do that. So what would this look like? So what would Poris Mappa look like for those who would do it? So what you would do is you would daven mincha, you would start the meal, but don't fill yourself because you need to have food on Shabbos that you need to have an appetite for your food for Shabbos. So let's say you would start your meal. What time is the Shabbos? It's 5:30, whatever it was. So you'd start your meal at, say, 5 o'clock. You daven mincha first with a minyan. And then you start the meal. You start your Purim Suda. You don't fill yourself. You would accept Shabbos, let's say, 15 minutes before sunset by lighting candles. Then you would cover the Lecha Mishnah. Because on Shabbos, you need to make Lecha Mishnah. But what? Then you would recite Kiddush. But you know what you wouldn't, because you have to make Kiddush. But you know what bracha you wouldn't say? You wouldn't say Bori Pri Agafen. You would say Vahi Erev, and then you wouldn't say Bori Pri Agafen, and then you just say, you just continue with Kiddush. Why wouldn't you say Bori Pri Agafen? Because presumably, you know, there's a mitzvah to have wine at the Purim Suda. So you probably already had wine. It's a wild position, right? You would cover the chalas, you make sure you have two chalas still. You cover two challahs. You would bench. So let's say you start your meal at 4:30, right? You dab mincha. You dab an early mincha with a minyan. And then you would start your Purim Suda with bread. And you eat your bread. You drink some wine. And then let's say 15 minutes before Shkia, you would cover the challah, because whenever you make Kiddush, you have to cover the challah. Then you make Kiddush without saying Baruch Adonai Shemachalom Bar Pir Gafen, because you already said, you already made the bracha of wine when you drank at the beginning of the meal. And then you would continue the meal. You would make sure that you would have at least a kabetza of bread for Shabbos. And then you would recite Ritzeh, because it's Shabbos for benching. And then whether you would say Al Hanisim is questionable. The Meiri says you would say it. The Mishnah Berurah actually says that you shouldn't say it. He actually said it's questionable. There's like a debate between the Chayei Adam and the Magen Avraham. Because if Ritzeh is on the... In other words, if Purim's on Friday, so how can you say... So it's Purim's Friday and Shabbos is post-Purim. So how can you say Ritzeh at Al Hanisim? Either it's Purim or it's Shabbos. It can't be both. By the way, this is a similar question when, let's say, when Shabbos falls on an Erev Rosh Chodesh and you have Shalashudas and you have bread after Shkia. So do you say Yalav Yavov? Can you say both Ritzeh and Yalav Yavov if Rosh Chodesh is on Sunday? So there's this question of what you're supposed to do. So some poskim say, you know what you should do? Just you eat your Purim Suda, right? And then you bench and you say, you don't say Al Hanisim, but you say, like in the Harachmans, you say Harachman Yasulano Nisim Liflos Kemosha also say to Bimahim Azmanazed, then you say Allah Nisim, but not in the context of the formal blessings of benching. And then afterwards you would daven Marv with a minyan. Because you shouldn't daven Marv beforehand. Because once you daven Marv beforehand, then you definitely can't say Al Hanisim. So that's what this Poris Mappa would look like. Rav Shachter writes that indeed, in Yerushalayim, if you have relatives in Yerushalayim, they are probably doing this option. This was Minhag Yerushalayim. Minhag Yerushalayim is to do this option. Or many people. I don't know if everyone. But it would be an interesting thing to, if you have relatives or friends in Yerushalayim, ask if they're doing this option. Because this is a Minhag Yerushalayim, or at least there are some people have this Minhag in Yerushalayim, that when Purim falls on Erev Shabbos, they do this. It's brought down the Magen Avraham, the name of the Mordechai. Rav Shachter says that it's probably, he's not so comfortable with it because it seems that it's a Bidi Eved from the Gemara and Pesachim. It's not a Lachat Chila. It seems that, but then he says maybe Purim and Erev Shabbos is considered like a Bidi Eved. There's also some are also concerned because you're putting yourself in a situation where you're not sure whether you should say Al Hanisim in benching or not. That's also a question. So because of that, so therefore Rav Shechter's not so excited, but you may find people in Yerushalayim who have this custom, and maybe some people are following this custom. I don't know. Rav Shechter's not so fond of this, but this custom is out there. And you know, it might work. There are some people who say that it does work. So that's an interesting sort of middle view. It's definitely a fun view because it's different, right? It's not. It's an exciting type of view. It's not a standard view. And you could do. You have to get a lot of things right. Now you got. You know, if it means you're not going down with a minyan, then that's not appropriate. You should daven mincha mar with a minyan. So you have to set up. So you daven mincha beforehand, and you have to start your meal. And then, and you're drinking wine, and then you make kiddush, but you don't say ber pri hagafen. And then you make sure on lecha mishnah, you divvy out the bread to people, but you're not saying hamotzi because you already had the bread beforehand. But you have to have a kibetza bread for Shabbos, and then just bench, and then say al hanisim in the harachamans. This is the concept of poris mapa for those who are following that custom. Again, Rav Shechter doesn't recommend it, but that's out there.
My son in Israel is doing poris mapa.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah, so some people are doing it. Yeah, I'm saying there are different opinions about that. Yeah. So anyway, so that is that's what this looks like. You have to get all the steps right, but it's not as complicated as you think.
Rabbi?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Hello? You broke up on me. You broke up on me. Hello? Hello? Can't hear you. I can't hear you. I'm sorry. You have to unmute yourself. Hello?
Oh, okay, all right. In Yerushalayim, in Purim HaShosh, they have to suit on Sunday.
Right.
What do you mean they would do Purim HaShosh Makadosh?
So I
would tell you that my brother in Nofai alone does it.
Right, so I think, that's a good question. So when would they, so I think people, I think who come from... Right, that was it. Right. That was it. That's right. When Shushan Purim, right. Yeah, I'm sorry. So when that's right. Sorry, Mar, you're correct. When Shushan Purim would come out on Fridays, that's when they would do it. Correct. So you're right. So it's not, so the Minhag Yerushalayim, so it wouldn't apply this year, but it's when Shushan Purim would fall on Friday. So some people, like I said, in Nofai Yalon or Chashmonaim, they're following this Minhag Yerushalayim. Maybe this will become Minhag Eretz Yisrael. I don't know. But anyway, that would be the case. Right. In Shushan Purim, they're doing this on Sunday, correct. Okay. All right. So I'm going to, that's all I have for today. Next week, believe it or not, I